This is Equip and Empower, the Christine Kane podcast. For everyone who desires to bring hope, create change, and live out their God-given destiny with passion and joy. Here's your host, Christine Kane.
Hey, everyone. I am so excited that you've joined us today. You've tuned in on a great week. We're in the middle of a series where we're talking about crossing your Red Sea. God is still in the miracle water parting business. I don't know what impossible situation you are confronting, what miracle you need, what Red Sea you need to be parted in your life, but I'm here to tell you today that impossible is where God starts. Miracles are what God does. You are in the right place at the right time for a miracle from God. And we've talked about the fact that the children of Israel came out of Egypt, came out of bondage, came out of slavery, came out of captivity, on their way through the wilderness in order to go into Canaan, which was their promised land that they were to possess. In Genesis chapter 12, God had promised to Abraham and all of his offspring that they would inherit the land. And so this is where the journey that they were on their way to. Now, the fact is that God miraculously on the night of Passover brought them out of Egypt. And now they're wandering in the wilderness, and instead of taking them up into the promised land by the shortest route, God took them the long way round. But we learned last week that the long way round is often the best way round. The long way with God is better than the short way by yourself. And so as long as the presence of God is with you, then you are in the right place. It might be taking longer than you ever imagined to get to where you think that God is calling you to go, but as long as the presence of God is with you, you are in the right place at the right time, and you are poised for your suddenly. Just don't get off track as you go the long way round. And then we pick up the scripture in Exodus chapter 14. And this describes the crossing of the Red Sea. If you've seen any Cecil B. DeMille movie, this is it. This is the big famous scene of the crossing of the Red Sea. It's probably the most taught text in the Old Testament. And we're thinking, wow, Christine, we're talking about parting the Red Sea. But I think that God's going to speak to you in a really powerful way out of this text. So in Exodus chapter 14, the Bible says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of Pi-hahirith, I don't know if that's how you say it, but that's how I'm saying it, okay? Between Migdol and the sea, in front of Baal Zephon, and you shall encamp facing it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the people of Israel, they are wandering in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host, and the Egyptians shall know that I, the Lord, and the Lord," and they did so. So we'll just pick it up there for a minute. So in those first couple of verses, we're going to see something very, very powerful. Now, I want you to know what's going to happen today. Today, we're going to go from fear to faith. We're going to go from despair to hope. We're going to go from sorrow to joy. We're going to have a shift in this place today, and we're going to move. What you're going to see here right at the outset, the Lord said to Moses, tell the people of Israel to turn back. Now, you know, when you're coming from somewhere, the last thing, when you're running away from somewhere, the last thing you want to hear is turn back. You want to be getting as far away from your enemy as possible. But the Lord right now, he says, turn back. And if they would trust God enough to turn back, God knew that this is going to look like they were confused to the enemy. And this is what God wanted to happen. He wanted the Egyptian army to think that the Israelites were suddenly confused. Like, you know, these ex-slaves, they don't know what's going on. They tried to get out of here and now they're coming back. So God deliberately wanted this to happen. The Lord wanted to put the children of Israel in a naturally vulnerable position. It doesn't make sense to the natural mind, but God was getting ready to get himself some glory in all of this. God was getting ready to show the Egyptians who was really God. And he was showing his favor upon the Israelites. You know, sometimes you might feel like you're in a vulnerable situation. You might feel like you're exposed. And I want you to know that it is God getting ready to act on your behalf in a supernatural way. Sometimes you're feeling, God, how are you going to redeem this situation? I am so exposed. I am so vulnerable. But I want you to know that God will make a way where there is no way. And so he said that they will think, they will wonder, and they'll say that they are wandering in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And so God knew that Pharaoh would be assessing this whole situation. He would think that the Israelites have lost their mind, that somehow they're confused out there in the wilderness, the hot sun got onto them, and that he would come and attack them. God was setting all of this up, that Pharaoh was going to come and attack the Israelite army. So here you go. Some of you, and where am I going with all of this? You feel like I'm exposed and that my enemies are coming after me. But I want you to know what the enemy meant for evil. God is going to turn this thing around and work it together for good. Sometimes God sets situations up so that your enemies will come after you so that God can take care of your enemies on your behalf. And some of you have got enemies and you feel like they're coming after me. And God, this seems like this situation. And in particular, there's somebody watching this and you have a legal situation happening in your life. And it's like, God, the enemies, I feel like I'm exposed. I haven't done anything here, but I feel like I've been set up. I want you to know you have been set up. You've been set up by God so that you can get your breakthrough. God is going to vindicate you. God is going to redeem you. This situation is going to turn around. You're going to get a breakthrough and you've had a Holy Ghost set up. It's not a set up from the enemy. It's a set up from God to take care of your enemy in Jesus' name. That is what has happened in your life, that God is going to come through and he's going to do it. And so the Bible says that the mind of Pharaoh was changed. Well, I think part of Pharaoh's mind was changed and he decided that he was going to come after the children of Israel. It was because he realized they took half of our jewelry, they took half of our gold, they took so much of our stuff. But in that moment, Pharaoh thought, I'm coming after them. So God was setting them up so that their enemies would be destroyed. And this is the interesting time. Let me read this to you. We're in Exodus 14. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will pursue them and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all of his hosts. Let me just say, God will get his glory in your situation. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And they did so. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the mind of Pharaoh, there it is, and his servants was changed towards the people. And they said, what is this that we have done, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariot and took his army with him and took 600 chosen chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he pursued the people of Israel while the people of Israel were going out defiantly. The Egyptians pursued them, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamped by the sea, by Pi-hahiroth in front of Baal-zaphon. Let's just go. He took 600 chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt. Could you imagine what that would be like? He took all of, chariots were the most sophisticated military technology of the time. And the children of Israel, they had no way of defeating the Egyptian army. I mean, they were in slavery and had just escaped out. And so Pharaoh sends all of the chariots and 600 of his finest. There was no chance. The children of Israel had no hope. They were entirely trapped in this cul-de-sac. But you have to understand that God was setting them up for a breakthrough. God was setting them up. You can feel that you are defeated sometimes. You can feel like there is no hope. Can you imagine what the sound of those chariots would have been like coming? You know what it's like to have escaped from something and then have that thing come after you? We've all experienced that. When you've broken free of something and then all of a sudden you think that thing's coming back for me. The fear and the dread and the terror that that puts in your life. So what happened is, we'll keep reading, when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them and they greatly feared. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, it is because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in wilderness. What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. It's interesting how you'll opt for slavery when there's fear in your life. Leave us alone. He says, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. And that's a word for someone today. The Lord will fight for you, and you only have to be silent. Everything in you wants to vindicate yourself. You want to get on Twitter. You want to get on Facebook. You want to write a blog. You want to explain to everyone what really happened because you have been so misrepresented. You have been so misconstrued. Your enemies have come after you and everything in you wants to defend yourself. But the word of the Lord would be this: the Lord will fight for you. You only have to be silent. And sometimes silence is the hardest thing to do, especially when you're a Greek woman like me with a big mouth. But to be able to trust God enough to say that He's going to fight on my behalf, God is going to vindicate me, God is going to fight on my behalf, God's going to make it happen. But the interesting thing happened here when it says, when the Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes and beheld the Egyptians, and they feared greatly. See, they lifted up their eyes only high enough to see their enemies. They didn't lift up their eyes high enough to see their God. And sometimes you've just got to lift your eyes up a little bit more. You are lifting your eye only up to the level of your enemy. And you keep looking and you keep scrolling and you keep looking at what is it that they're writing about me? What is it that they're saying about me? And then you're looking at different posts and you're looking at, well, look, they're out with them friends and they're not out with those friends. And I'm the one that's not invited. And I bet they're all talking about me. And you're looking at your enemies. And then you're wondering why you're fearing greatly and you're wondering why you're carrying so much anxiety and so much stress. You've got to elevate your eyes to look unto Jesus. He is the author and He is the finisher, that we are to fix our eyes on Jesus. That's where we fix our eyes. If we're going to run our race, if we're going to finish our course, if we're going to have victory in the midst of our battles, we've got to get our eyes off our enemies. We've got to get our eyes off each other and we've got to get our eyes up unto Jesus. That is where our help comes from. It comes from Jesus. So elevate your eyes. Lift your eyes up higher. Look up unto the hills, the Bible says. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord. From the Lord. Stop looking to people to do for you what only God can do. Sometimes we're looking to people and then we get frustrated with people because they're not Jesus. And no, they're not Jesus. That's why they're people. They're not Jesus. And when you look to someone to be Jesus, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be disappointed every time when someone looks to you to be Jesus. They're going to be disappointed because there is no way that we can take the place of God. Only God can be God. And so what happened to the children of Israel is they only lifted up their eyes high enough to see the problem. They needed to lift their eyes higher so they could see their protector. And let's not focus on our problem. Let's focus on our protector. Let's focus our eyes on the Lord Jesus. And so, you know, it would have been daunting to see that Egyptian army coming after you. There is no doubt about it. And sometimes there are enemies that come after us and it is daunting. It is huge. So you have got to work really hard to keep your focus on Jesus. The Bible says that they began to complain to Moses. Did you see that? They started saying to Moses, we told you, you shouldn't have brought us out. That's what happens. Where they're blaming the leader. It's your fault. It's your fault. Because see, when you focus on the wrong thing with your eyes, you're going to start saying the wrong thing out of your mouth. And so what happens is what you behold, you become, and you end up saying this stuff. So if you're focusing on the wrong thing, it's more than likely you're saying the wrong thing. How many times have we made mistakes with our mouth because we didn't get our facts right and we were looking at the wrong thing or we were listening to the wrong thing? So what happened in this case was the children of Israel, they were looking at their enemy, fear took grip in their hearts. So they began to complain to Moses. I mean, no one in their right mind would have thought Moses would have set them up. Moses didn't know where he was going one day to the next either. He was following the cloud like everybody else. He was the guy that just had the stick. And, you know, and God's like, great, I've chosen you. And he's like, who am I? And God's like, I don't care. It's not about who you are. It's about who I am. And so the issue is Moses wasn't pretending to be anything that he wasn't. But he was the leader. And sometimes we end up saying very irrational things when we are filled with fear and when we're filled with dread. And we end up blaming people that we shouldn't blame. And we end up saying things that we shouldn't say. Dare I say, we end up tweeting things we shouldn't tweet and we should delete. That all rhymes. But we really should. Because how often, now I know you're all perfect, but for everybody else, how often have we blurted something out, then found out we had the wrong information and just felt foolish? Just felt foolish. And we live in a culture and an age where people are venting nonstop. It's kind of like there is no filter. And somehow we think that because we've got a keyboard that we can type or a phone that we can type, that God's not watching what we're typing. I'm thinking, do you not know? God's like omnipresent. He's right there when you're typing. He knows what you're typing and he can see it. But it's like we lose our filter and we say irrational things. So let's be mindful of what we say. Let's be mindful of what's coming out of our mouth. They were totally irrational. Well, we should have taken this as a good sign because you and I have read so much more of the Bible and they were writing the Bible that we are now reading because this same group of people, this was a precedent for the next 40 years of their life. They just murmured and grumbled and complained. So right when they came out of Egypt, this was the tenor of their whole life. God gave them so many chances to change, to trust him, to change their confession from one that was full of fear and doubt and negativity and one that was full of murmuring, grumbling and complaining to a confession that would be full of faith, to a confession that would be full of victory. But right here we see from the outset that all they did was complain and blame, complain and blame. I'd rather go back to Egypt. I'd rather go back to bondage. I'd rather go back to how it was. So you take a step of faith. You see God do miracles, signs and wonders on the night of Passover to get you out and deliver you. And then you instantly forget the miracle of that same God just because you need another miracle. You're not supposed to forget the past miracles when you need another new miracle. You're supposed to remember what God has done before so that you can know he's going to be faithful to do it again. The reason why we remember the faithfulness of God in our past is to know that he is the same God that's with us in our present and the same God that will take us in our future. But what happened with this generation is they had forgotten about what God had done just days before to bring them out on the night of Passover. That was a miracle. And it was a miracle that this same God was leading them through the wilderness. And they quickly forgot the minute they got to a Red Sea and their enemies were coming after them, they forgot about the goodness of God. I wonder, when you're facing a confronting situation, do you forget or do you remember the goodness of God? Because whichever one of those two you choose will determine your attitude when you're confronting an obstacle. You see, when I come up to a new obstacle and we have a new challenge with A21 and something's happening with one of our countries, you know what? I just go, it's okay. We might not have been in this exact situation before. It mightn't have been mountains and a Red Sea, but you know, the same God that was with us in the other 10 offices, the same God that brought us through this situation and delivered us out of that situation, that same God, he's with us here. So I don't know how he's going to do it now, but I didn't know how he was going to do it then. And the same miracle power that did it then is the same miracle power that I need now. I couldn't do it myself then. I can't do it myself now. It is so crazy how often we forget how miraculous our life is. The fact that we are living and breathing, that God saved us and brought us from death to life, that in itself is a miracle. Listen, if I never see another sign or wonder in my life, the fact that I am here today is a sign, is a wonder. The same miracle working God that did that will take us to our future. That's what God does. It's a time to remember, not forget. But they had obviously forgotten. And then when you forget, you just start blaming. You blame the closest thing to you. So they started blaming Moses. You know, here's the deal. We're all drawn into battles we didn't ask for. We are all drawn into circumstances we did not pick. They didn't want to be there any more than you might not want to be in the situation you're in right now. But when you're in that situation, when it's a situation that you don't want to be in, you get to choose what your response is. I remember when I got the report from the doctor that I didn't want to get, that called me and said, Christine, you have thyroid cancer. You know, I didn't want that report. I didn't want to go and have more doctor's tests. I didn't want to go and have surgery. I didn't want to have to then go and have regular appointments and different Medicare. I didn't choose that battle, but I could have either chosen that I was going to murmur, grumble and complain, this isn't fair and why did this happen to me and I'm a woman of faith and what did I do to deserve this and I teach the word of God. And I could have gone through all that because that's what we do and just wasted a whole lot of time or gone, you know what? I didn't pick this battle. But that's okay, because the same God that has won every other battle in my life, He's the same God that's able to fight for me in this battle. I don't know what you are facing today. I don't know if you're facing an emotional battle, a relational challenge, a financial challenge, a physical challenge. Perhaps the doctor has said, this disease is incurable. This is terminal. I want you to know that nothing is impossible for God. And you might be facing what looks to you to be a Red Sea, an impenetrable wall of water where you think there is no way over this, no way around this, no way under this. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I want you to know that the same God that has been faithful to you this far is the same God that's going to take you to the other side of this. He can still part Red Seas. He can still make a way where there is no way. He is still a miracle working God. We serve a God of miracles. It's what we do. It's what we do. And so you get to choose. Are you going to murmur, grumble, and complain and die in the wilderness? Or are you going to trust the faithfulness and the goodness of God? He says, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, Moses was a great leader in this moment because he had to step up to the plate. Do you think he had a clue how God was going to do this? But he had to stand firm. And sometimes that's what you have to do as a leader. I can't say how many situations in what Nick and I oversee where I've had to, I'm half an inch in front of my team and I'm like, we got this. I'm like, God, you better have this. You know, I got no idea how this is going to happen. But sometimes you've just got to buck up. And sometimes you go, you know what? God is going to come through. I wonder whether Moses was really nervous when he said that. And the fact is, a leader's job is to trust God when your back is up against the wall. Is to go, look, I don't know how it's going to happen, but we're going to stand still. And no wonder he said to them, be silent, because he was sick of their murmuring, grumbling, and complaining. So he would have used it as a battle strategy. Just be quiet. Because Moses understood that doubt dies unborn if it's never spoken. So if I can make you be silent, then you will see the salvation of the Lord. But if you continue to murmur, grumble, and complain, then you are going to abort the purposes of God. You're going to abort the hand of God in this situation because you're murmuring, you're grumbling, you're complaining. You're not even giving God a chance to move. Some of you, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that there's the power of life and death in our tongue. And you are speaking death over your situations. You're speaking death over your marriage. You're speaking death over your children. You're speaking death over your finances. You're speaking death over your future because all you're talking about is the negative victimhood, fear, and doubt. And all you're talking about is what's not happening, what they're not doing, what you don't like about them, rather than speaking life into that situation. Find something great about your kids and speak life over them. Find something great about your spouse, even if it's the color of their eyes, and speak about that if it's nothing else right now that you can find. You know what? Find something good and speak life. I know if something happens in our lives, I'm going to look for the one good thing. Even if there's 100 bad things happening, I'm going to look for the one good thing and I'm going to speak that thing, and I'm going to keep speaking life until the dead things come back to life. There is power of life and death in your tongue. So what are you speaking? Are you speaking life or are you speaking death? We frame our world with the words that we speak. So what words are you speaking? What words are you speaking over your colleagues? What words are you speaking over your friends? What words are you speaking over yourself? I make my daughters look in the mirror and say, good morning, awesome. You're awesome. I know, you know why? Because I know that at least 4,000 messages that day that they're going to encounter are not going to tell them that they're awesome. At least 4,000 media messages are going to tell them, you're not skinny enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not tall enough, you're not good enough. So you know what? I want them to know that in Christ and through Christ, that He in them is more than enough and He made them in His image and they are filled with His potential and they are filled with His goodness and His grace and His mercy and they can be anything He's called them to be and they can do anything that He's called them to do. So I'm going to get them not to agree with the negative media, not to agree with their negative friends, not to agree with the destructive words of anyone else. I'm going to get them to agree with what God says about them. I'm going to get them to speak life over their future and their destiny in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're all awesome.
Thanks for listening today. We hope today's message has encouraged and helped you. By the way, We'd love to see you positioned to experience all the great things God wants to do in your life. And we've got a special gift that'll help you do that. Just go to ChristineCain.com/podcast devotional and download your free copy of Christine's 14-day devotional, Spiritual Growth Spurts.